All right, it's the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. With you till 11 o'clock when Patty Vasquez takes over, 312-981-7200. I'm sure Patty's going to talk a lot about what you thought of the convention tonight. But you know what, Pete? As conventions go, especially the DNC day two, I mean, pretty smooth sailing. You know, a lot of what the media wants to talk about has to do with hiccups and trips and stumbles. But the Democrats get things together and behind the strength of former President Bill Clinton, and they deliver a night that is on message, on point, and otherwise pretty boring. I guess that's good convention, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, President Obama, Vice President Joe Biden, and the new vice president nominee, Tim Kaine. I mean, it is. It's like Lollapalooza. They just get a Lollapalooza of Democratic politics.
The names are incredible. Maybe Bill Clinton could speak to the Cubs. Fire them up a little bit.
The Cubs drop another one. Game two today, the Crosstown Cup. How does it work? Does it go two at the Cell and then two at Wrigley? Is that the idea? So they go to Wrigley Field tomorrow. But the sweep of the Chicago Cubs by the Chicago White Sox at the U.S. Cellular Field. Sam Panayanovich was there for WGN Radio Sports. He joins us now. What a week for Chicago baseball. The Chicago White Sox doing what we knew they would do. They would just trip up the first-place Chicago Cubs. Right, Sam?
Well, you mentioned trips and stumbles at the Democratic National Convention. There were some trips and stumbles certainly this week in Chicago baseball. I've actually felt more like a gossip reporter the last 2 days than a sports reporter. There's been a lot going on. But on the field, I guess we could start there. The scissor gate on Saturday has only allowed the White Sox to win four games in a row, all in those 1983 uniforms, which they can't take to Wrigley, by the way. They can't do that, so they have to find a new mojo.
Is that what it's all about? Are they doing mojo? Is that the thing why they keep playing or keep wearing the same jersey?
Well, Robin Ventura very glibly said before the game when asked about, is this a winning streak thing? Will you keep wearing these uniforms until you lose? And Robin is a very matter-of-fact person. He said, quote, it was in my locker, so I wore it, which obviously is a little subdued shot at Chris Sale, who famously took shots at his manager yesterday in an interview with MLB.com. So there's a lot going on there on the South Side, but they've won four games in a row, and now at the 50-50 mark, record-wise, 100 games in, they have 50 wins and 50 losses, but they've got that Crosstown Cup, baby.
All right, so let me ask you, we'll stay on the White Sox before we turn to the Cubs, but obviously, I mean, a tremendously awkward weekend for the Chicago White Sox with Chris Sale cutting up the jerseys. Is there any chance that the Chicago White Sox management has had it up to here with Chris Sale and they're going to look to trade him before the deadline, try to get his best deal possible for the ace?
I think there's a 90% chance he's still with the White Sox on August 1st, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think they trade him. They couldn't get anything that would bowl them over because, you know, the biggest package would have to be five guys that are top-of-the-line prospects, maybe one guy that's a major league-ready player. The only team that can really put that together is the Red Sox, maybe the Dodgers, and those teams aren't going to give up that much because they're in playoff race. You don't want to sacrifice that much. You know, even though Chris Sale has one of the best contracts in the game, he's under contract until 2020. He gets better every season. He was an all-star starter this year, and he's controllable, Justin. I mean, there's no reason to push him out the door. I think they could have handled his temper tantrums a little bit earlier on. You know, he had that temper tantrum in March where he went on a tirade against Kenny Williams and dropped F-bombs. They didn't really do anything. They kind of just let that slide. So they created this environment where he could act like a child from time to time. And I think he's a good guy. He just, you know, he's got a really short fuse. And that kind of bubbled over all the emotion of the losing. He's lost pretty much every season he's been here. He heard the trade talks and the uniform thing. You know, that was just, you know, the tip of the iceberg. So to answer your question, he's still here. And I think he's still going to be here through August 1st. I don't think they really make any moves, to be honest, because they might think they're back in it now.
Do they think that? I mean, after here comes the White Sox. They did the same thing last year where they were able to – they ended up keeping Jeff Samardzija because they thought they had a chance to go run the table. And quickly, right after the trade deadline, they tanked. I mean, are the GMs, Rick Hahn, Kenny Williams, do they feel the same way? You feel like they might be thinking, hey, we're putting something together here?
Well, today VP Kenny Williams said – to be specific, we don't know if we're buyers or sellers yet. We don't know. We don't know what we are, which you know, the Sox fan base, I know, is kind of rolling their eyes over because this is like the same old song and dance. The team probably isn't good enough to win a championship, but they don't want to bottom out and rebuild and regut. You know, they want to just kind of stay status quo. And right now, I honestly think that if they can win one of these two games against the Cubs, you know, you're 51-51 after 102, they're probably going to just roll the dice and see what happens because they're not really in a hurry to move anybody. I don't think they're going to also go all in and try and acquire a big bat or a big arm or anything. They're just probably going to go through the motions, see where they are on August 1st, and stand pat. I don't think you're going to lose more than, you know, one guy off this roster heading into the trade deadline. Maybe you lose one guy. Maybe they trade David Robertson. But I don't know. I think they're going to keep Salen Quintana. There's no reason to trade two guys that are valuable and that are very, very solid at the top of the rotation.
Sam Panayotovich, we'd make a transition to the north side just as the series does. The Chicago Cubs stealing headlines. No one really cares about the Crosstown Cup because they acquired sensation Aroldis Chapman from the New York Yankees, giving up a lot of players for that deal. But Aroldis Chapman, known as the best closer in baseball, but with off-the-field baggage.
Certainly. I mean, this was a guy that served a 30-game suspension. You know, there was a domestic violence dispute in Davie, Florida with his girl, you know, his girlfriend. They are still together, but, you know, he did serve the time. He wasn't found guilty of anything because there were some different stories and things like that stemmed out, and police couldn't exactly figure out what happened. But he served the time in baseball terms. You know, 30 days he was suspended. The Cubs claimed they did their due diligence. An interesting curveball, though, today, because yesterday it was Theo Epstein talking about a conversation between himself and Tom Ricketts, the chairman of the Cubs, and Chapman, that they all sort of talked about what was expected of Aroldis Chapman coming into the team and what they expected of him as a teammate and a community-friendly voice and everything. So they asked Chapman about that today, and there was this translation goof. I don't think he got the question the right way, but he essentially said that he was asleep when they called, and he didn't remember what they said, what they talked about.
Not good.
So now Cubs PR sent out an email that they claimed a clerical error with the translation process because Chapman doesn't really speak English all that well. It was just a mess, though. And, you know, the first impression, whether there was a translating error or not, was not good. He kind of seemed, you know, a little evasive. He didn't answer questions. It was just strange because, you know, they hinged on this phone call that he knew what was expected of him and that they were going to hold him accountable and they wanted to make sure they could trust him. And then he just kind of sloughed it off today. They tried to put the Band-Aid back on it after, but I still don't know what to make of it. I really don't.
It's so strange because, you know, that was one thing that was brought up by the press was just, you know, is this guy going to be a good character guy? Is he going to say all the right things? On the first day, the first time he talks, he already contradicts management, and they're having to come up with excuses. It's not a good start. But then again, like I kind of joked at the top, throw strikes. You know, this is baseball, and at a certain point, you know, fans are fans, and they're not going to care about what this guy did off the field.
Well, not just strikes, 105-mile-an-hour strike.
Yeah, right.
This is the fastest pitcher on record, radar gun-wise. He is the fastest pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball. And this is a guy that's going to give other teams fits, whether it's the eighth inning, whether it's the ninth inning. They might even use him. Joe Maddon said, I'm not going to go rally fingers on him yet. Remember, fingers would come in like the seventh inning and pitch, you know, the rest of the way. That's a guy that could realistically do that in October if he has to. And it was actually interesting. One of the reporters asked Joe Maddon straight up, if he's not a good guy, does it still even matter if he's closing out Game 7 and bringing home the Cubs or World Series? And Maddon was kind of like, oh, boy. You know, that's a pretty interesting question to ask. And he pointed to Ty Cobb, how he was a bad guy, you know, a lot of racist claims. You know, the White Sox were gambling on baseball in the 1919 series. He said that his job here is to get to know Chapman, to keep him on board, to try and, you know, massage the issue and get him to buy into the team culture. And that's what they're going to do. But at the end of the day, if he helps you win a World Series, that's why he's here, because he throws really hard.
Yeah.
He's one of the best relievers in the game in the last 5 years. And, you would rather have him in your cupboard, Justin, than have to face him.
Yeah, absolutely. I do see some fans, you know, sensitivity to the idea of somebody who has domestic violence in their past, in such recent past.
And
you just hope that the Cubs did due diligence and this wasn't sort of, we're going to do this just to win because, you know, we're at that stage where we got to win. We got to win now.
Right, and I understand that, and I am never anybody to tell somebody what to think. I feel for anybody who's ever been touched by domestic violence. I think it's a sickening issue to have to talk about in the Major League Clubhouse, but it happened, and, you know, you have to do your diligence on it. The Cubs claim they've done it. They're going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and we'll see what happens.
All right, so last question. I mean, the Chicago Cubs, are they done? I mean, is this the kind of thing where, you know, they kind of made their trade a couple weeks before the deadline? Do they need some more help, or is this pretty much the team we're going to see going into the playoffs?
You know, they're 59-40. They're in first place in the Central by 6.5 games. The lead was larger, and now panic starts to set in, and people try and micromanage the holes that they have. This is still a first-place team. They're probably going to go to the postseason. They would like to add another bat, but it's expensive. You know, you can't just pluck somebody out of nowhere for nothing. You've got to give up a lot more players in your farm, and I don't know if they want to do that. They like the veteran bats they added in the offseason. They're going to view Hayward as an acquisition. They're going to view the Zobrist acquisition in the offseason. Those are going to be the guys that they're going to lean on, and they just traded for two pitchers in that bullpen. So I don't think there's any more blockbusters in the future. This is probably the team that they're going to roll with going forward.
All right, Sam Panionovich reporting on the Crosstown Cup. It goes back to Wrigley tomorrow, the idea, so they don't get a day off to rest. They go right back to Wrigley Field tomorrow where we may see Aroldis Chapman. But the way the White Sox are playing, maybe they won't. The White Sox win tonight. They got a 2-0 lead on the Cubs in this four-game series. Sam Panionovich, WGN Radio. Thanks for joining us, bud.
I'm going to go party with the Cop. I'll text you a picture.